Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looks like a clinic on how not do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Mishar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There it goes. He's got it.
Here's the throw down. Mookie Betts has stolen his 30th base. He is a 30-30 man.
He got a good jump, but boy, did they make it close. I think he missed the tag there. VR, who cares? It's 30.
Yeah! Woohoo! 30 steals for Mookie. 30-30, baby. Yeah! There you go. How about that one, Murray? This is something to celebrate, huh? 30-30 from Mookie Betts.
And sliding at first for it, too. That's smart.
Okay, look, so I hate to sound like Adam Jones here, but let me get this out of the way. We'll do this at the start of the show. Okay, Mookie Betts reached 30-30 today. He stole his 30th base of the season. Only the second player in Red Sox history to be 30-30 in a season. Joining who, Murray?
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Jacoby Ellsbury. And what do we think of Jacoby Ellsbury?
He stinks.
Okay, so there you go. Like, there's my 2 cents on the 30-30. Again, I want to get this out of the way. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, 617-779-0985. I'll get this out of the way quickly. This 30-30 thing with Mookie Betts is stupid. It is. It's stupid. It was a mistake. They got away with it. Nothing happened, I think. I mean, Mookie Betts wasn't hurt. He dove into second base. He was wearing that grilling mitt or that oven mitt on his hand, and he dove in head first. But again, you look at that, especially after Didi Gregorius of the Yankees just suffered an injury to his thumb sliding head first that is putting his effectiveness, at the very least, in the postseason in jeopardy. Like, is it really smart to have a guy who is the best player in the game running against the Baltimore Orioles, and he got the 29th steal the other night? Is that really smart when you're trying to win a World Series? So now, look, again, I'm not telling you this is a huge deal. I just think to make it some sort of objective or priority here in the final days of the season, to me, is dumb. It is. The Red Sox got away with it. Nothing happened to Mookie. It's fine. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a nice achievement. I guess only 40 players in Major League history have ever been 30-30 in the same season. But honestly, Mookie Betts ended up with 32, 33 home runs and 29 stolen bases or 26. Does it really change your opinion of him as a player? Like, the 30-30 is not as that important for me. It's just not important for me. And I will tell you that the only people at the end of the day who really get geeked up about this are the people who drafted him in their fantasy baseball league and got one of the best stolen base guys and one of the best home run guys in the game. Okay, so has Mookie been the best player in baseball this year? I think he has. Best all around. Not necessarily the most valuable, but the best all around player in the game. He's been dynamite. Absolutely dynamite. I just didn't think the Red Sox needed to make that a priority. Now, that said, since we're celebrating individual accomplishments today, apparently, Xander Bogaerts knocked in 4 runs today to give him exactly 100 RBI. Now, this one doesn't bother me as much. Okay, this one doesn't bother me as much because Bogaerts is going to go up and hit here during the final week anyway. If there are men on base, so be it. by all means, drive him in. Like, I don't think they changed anything or put him at any additional needless risk by asking him to hit with men on base. You follow me? So the 100 RBI, I can celebrate that. I can. The steals, needlessly, from a team that didn't need to run this week after they'd already wrapped up best record, after they'd already wrapped up the division, all of that, I wouldn't have made the individual stuff a priority at all. Even if it was important to Mookie Betts, I would have discouraged him from it. Mookie, just don't do anything stupid. Okay, don't do anything stupid. The last thing we need is for you to get hurt. Okay, and David Price today. Murray, let me ask you a question. Let me ask the fans this. This was David Price's final start of the regular season. David Price is now done in the books for 2018. Okay, 16-7, 3.58 ERA, and in his 30 starts, the Red Sox went 22-8. Okay, so 14 games over 500. That means had the rest of the team played 500 with just David Price on the mound, the Red Sox would have gone 88-74. Okay, so that's number one. But again, his performance, 16-7, 3.58 ERA, is that worth $31 million a year, Murray?
Yeah, in today's Major League Baseball, it is. Yeah, and for a stretch there, post All-Star break, he was this team's best pitcher. So, yeah, ultimately he was.
Okay, now look, I asked that of the fan base. You tell me, is that worth the $31 million? And I know, let me just say, we're not gonna weigh the postseason yet. I'm just telling you the regular season performance that David Price gave you this year. 16-7, 3.58 ERA, 22-8 in the 30 games. Okay, 22-8 in the 30 games. Is that worth $31 million a year in the modern major leagues? In the present day major leagues, is that worth it? Okay? I'd like to get your feedback on that. And I have another question for you as it pertains to Red Sox that really is probably the lead to the show tonight, if you ask me. And this goes to, but if you want to get into the individuals, we'll do that. But this particular item goes to Peter Abraham of the Globe, who wrote today. And I'm going to give you the exact wording of it. Abraham today wrote a story about the Red Sox with the headline on it, how the Red Sox pulled off this unprecedented season. Okay? How the Red Sox pulled off this unprecedented season. And then in the middle of it, there is this short, brief sentence that I'm going to try to get to you verbatim, because naturally now, Murray, I lost it. So I'm going to find it for you here in 1 second. Abraham writes, "The Red Sox are certainly not an underdog story. Their payroll is close to $235 million, approximately $28 million more than any other club." Okay, $235 million. And the reason this caught my attention today is that the luxury tax threshold, the next threshold for the Red Sox this year, was at 237. Alex Speer at the trading deadline wrote a story saying that the Red Sox were going to go over the $237 million. Peter Abraham today has the number closer to 235. And so my question to you is, if the Red Sox end up losing in October because they don't have a good enough bullpen, and part of the reason is that they were unwilling to go another couple of million bucks and eclipse that 237, how do you feel about that? And let me tell you that the penalty for going over $237 million would have been a higher tax, albeit just on the amount that they go over. So, for example, if they go to 239, I think they pay a 60% tax on that $2 million. Okay? It's not on the whole amount. It's only on whatever amount they go over. Furthermore, they would have to drop 10 spots in the draft with their first pick. Okay, would that be worth it? Because I saw that number, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. If they end up under the luxury tax threshold, then everything they told us along the way was a complete myth and, frankly, manipulation of the facts. The reason they don't have bullpen help is that they didn't want to spend the money and go over that threshold. And if that's what does them in, oh, boy, is that a hard one to accept. Let's kick it off tonight with Nick in Rhode Island on that same Red Sox bullpen. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so real quick before I get into that bullpen, you mentioned the 30-30 season for Mookie. I can't agree more. Imagine what we'd be talking about today if, God forbid, you send him in a game against the Orioles, who are dog crap, and late season, you send him to get the steal for the 30, and he gets cleated, or he jams his hand at second base. What are we talking about for this whole show?
Yes, Nick, what's the point? I mean, what's the real benefit or gain of it? Like, why do we care that Mookie Betts got 30-30? Big deal. What does that mean?
The numbers, Tony, the shock factor. I don't know. You beat me. But anyways, bullpen. I mean, the way it's constituted right now, you got into it a little bit. I mean, they should have spent more, in my opinion. But I meant to call you on Monday after that Cuevas stint. He went, I think it was like 82 pitches. I mean, you mentioned how he's not going to make the roster. I mean, why, with how bad the bullpen's been, why wouldn't you take a flyer on it and just sit someone else? I mean, there's that list of bums that you could say, all right, let's just pull this guy out, put Cuevas in, and if we need him, we need him. I mean, take a shot.
Okay, so Nick, I'm not into taking flyers in October. I'm just not into taking flyers. So, again, there's an old adage in baseball, never put any stock into anything you see during spring training or September. Okay? Spring training or September, throw them both out. Because what you're getting is minor leaguers in games that are affecting the whole product and ultimately performance. Guys are facing guys they shouldn't be facing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The quality of the competition isn't nearly as good. So you're supposed to dismiss it. Okay, just dismiss it. Now, if it's a real proven player and a proven, you know, in a proven confrontation, in other words, if Mookie Betts faces Max Scherzer, okay, well, that's a little different. You get the idea. But otherwise, dismiss it. I don't want Cuevas getting the ball in a big spot in the postseason. The short answer is this. The Red Sox don't have the guy. They don't have the guy. So we're all going to have to live with that. And we're going to have to live with Eovaldi maybe becoming it between starts, or somebody getting hot in the bullpen, or Cora pushing all the right buttons or whatever it is. But the bottom line is this. They don't have it. Okay, they don't have it. So the manager's now going to have to figure it out on the fly. And if they don't have it, because they wouldn't go above a luxury tax threshold of 237 when they were already pushing 235. And at the end of the day, it really wasn't that much more to go beyond the 237. And not for the money, but for the draft picks and everything else. I mean, really. That one, to me, that one's hard to swallow. It's hard to swallow if you don't have the minor league prospects to deal either. But at least that one, I say, well, you couldn't have done it. This one is you wouldn't do it. And that, to me, is a completely different thing.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2. Fly ball left center. Well hit. Ball is turning around now, and it's gone. Is 100. Xander Bogaerts today driving in 4 runs to get to 100 RBI.
That is so beautiful. What a way to do it. And he knew it was gone. He took a while to get to first base, and talk about enjoying the moment.
Wow.
Enjoy that moment.
So again, I'm biased because I like Bogaerts as a player. I've always liked Bogaerts as a player, although I have to admit a year ago at this time, I was pretty disenchanted. I thought it was time to trade Xander Bogaerts and move on. I thought the Red Sox just couldn't tap in and that he was never going to become the player he's capable of becoming. And frankly, I think he's capable of even more than this. And Bogaerts has had a good year. Very good year. I think the Red Sox are third in the American League at OPS at shortstop. The only two teams ahead of them, the Cleveland Indians, who have Francisco Lindor, who is an MVP candidate. I mean, as good as Bogaerts has been this year, he's not an MVP candidate. Okay, but Lindor is. Lindor, to me, is the best shortstop in the game. And the Orioles were ahead of the Red Sox, too, because they had Manny Machado playing there for the majority of the season. Other than that, the Red Sox got more production at shortstop than any team in the league, which is, frankly, what I thought they were going to get when they made this guy the shortstop 4 years ago, whenever it was. So now, Xander Bogaerts is entering the final year of his deal with the Red Sox, or his time with the Red Sox. That's next season. I don't know if they'll try to assign him to a multi-year deal this offseason or not, whether he'd even do it. His agent is Xander Bogaerts, and I'm not sure they should do it. But I'll tell you this, that for all the concerns with Bogaerts, you know, the second half fades. He batted 290 or has batted 290 after the All-Star break this year. He hit 284 before the break. Now, the OPS has gone down a little bit. He's gone from 882 to 830, but the bottom line is this. Bogaerts finally played at something pretty close to his potential. And I still think they can get more. It might not manifest itself in RBI, but I think that Bogaerts can, I think there's even more there. Okay, I think Bogaerts could be 325 and 105 every year for like 5 years. I think he's that kind of player, or should be. Here's what Alex Cora said about Xander Bogaerts' performance this season after today's game.
He finished strong. I think he really bought into what we wanted him to do as a hitter, is try to drive the ball, do some damage. And obviously with the traffic that he has in front of him, there was a reason that I wanted him to hit fifth or right behind JD, because I felt those guys were going to be, there was going to be a lot of traffic, and he's taking advantage of it.
I mean, really, I don't think you can say enough about the year Bogaerts gave him this year, especially batting behind JD Martinez, as Alex Cora indicated there. So again, 617-779-0985. Two of the questions I asked you here at the beginning of the day today. One, David Price's year now is done. His regular season is done. 16-7, 3.58. The team went 22-8 in his 30 games. In the regular season, is that worth $31 million a year? Because believe it or not, I think it is. I think Price gave you your money's worth this year in the regular season. Now, to really give you your money's worth, he's got to win in October. We all know that. But in terms of what he was for this team during the regular season, he was a good number two starter. He was. The other thing I threw out there, the Red Sox, according to Peter Abraham in the Globe today, are right around $235 million in payroll. If that's what the number is, and they didn't go over the luxury tax, and they didn't add bullpen help as a result, and I say didn't go over the next threshold of the luxury tax. They're already in the tax, but had they gone over 237, there would have been some draft penalties, et cetera, et cetera. Can you live with that? Can you live with them staying under 237 to protect 10 spots in the draft?
No, nobody should. That's criminal.
I mean, to me,
if they get knocked out, if they don't go to the World Series, and it's a competitive World Series, even if they don't end up winning the thing, and you know, it's the bullpen that keeps biting them in the ass, then people should want to storm Fenway Park with torches and pitchforks.
I mean, to me, really, if that is what ultimately inspired them to stay below and not help that bullpen, oh boy, do I have a hard time living with that one. I don't. When you have this kind of team and this kind of year, you're not going to push it a little, and you drop, what, 10 spots in the draft? And again, Alex Spear at the deadline indicated that the Red Sox were prepared to go over it, and they were going to go over it. Now, all of a sudden, it looks like they might have actually ended up under, which to me is a little bit of a shell game. It feels like, to me, like they pulled a fast one on us. Steve's in Somerville in the first base situation. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing? Well, I read a Matt Collins article from back in September 9th talking about Mitch Moreland, how his numbers have just plummeted after the All-Star break. And I was wondering if you could talk about maybe options at that. And I want to say I agree on the Xander Bogaerts thing. I thought we should have traded him last year, and this year he's been a beast compared to what he was. And as far as the 30-30 thing, you're right about that. That was unnecessary, but good for him.
Okay, so yeah, the 30-30 thing, I just can't believe that the Red Sox put any energy into that at all. You know, when you start talking about base stealing, like, that's where a lot of wear and tear can happen. That's where injuries can happen. And I just don't put that much emphasis on the stolen base. So to me, complete waste of time. As for Mitch Moreland at first base, and I was having a conversation with someone about this today. Do you know what Moreland has hit since the All-Star break, Murray?
No, tell me.
Jimmy Stewart, do you have a guess? If you had to guess what Mitch Moreland has batted since the All-Star break, what's the number?
Is it under 200?
177. 177 for Mitch Moreland since the All-Star break. And remember, Moreland was in the All-Star game. Okay, he was on the American League All-Star team. Moreland now looks like a problem. And so think of this. You have a playoff starting next Friday in a week. Moreland might not be at first base. Who's going to be at second? Kinsler's been garbage lately, too. Third base seems to be up in the air. So you don't know who's going to be at first, second, or third.
Well, I don't know. Didn't Devers kind of almost assure himself third base with the game he had today? I know it's against the Orioles, but 4 for 5, a couple of home runs.
Okay, so
six
look,
RBI.
Devers has been hot, and he and Nunez will both be on the roster. But it felt to me like before Nunez had this most recent setback, Murray, that he was going to be the third baseman. So now, listen, I hear what you're saying. He's hot, like, and you go with the hot guy. Would it surprise you if they went with Nunez?
No.
Okay, so this is my point. There's no clear answer there. And there's no clear answer at second, and now there's no clear answer at first. And you don't have a clear answer in the seventh or the eighth innings in the bullpen. Does that blow you away that a team that could win it? What do they have now, 107 or 108?
107.
107 wins, and we're asking that many questions. Really, it's fascinating that you could have that many holes. Jason's in Franklin. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, I don't think David Price is worth the $31 million.
Why not?
And, well, all right, he pooped himself in New York a couple of times. The whole, you know, cold weather, I can't throw. And, you know, I think his record is a little inflated because, well, most of the league is dog poop.
Okay, so listen, Jason, I hear everything you're saying. I'm just telling you that at the end of the day, the numbers were 16-7, 3.58. They won 22 of his 30 starts. And when you say he couldn't pitch sometime, he made 30 starts. He made the 30 starts.
All right, I guess I'll concede that. I still think, though, you know, for a number two starter in Boston, you shouldn't be pooping yourself in New York.
Okay, so now look, you want to tell me that he is something closer to Rick Porcello? Fine. Okay, Rick Porcello this year, 17-7, and I'm trying to get your Porcello's final ERA, but it was in the fours. 4.33, so almost a run higher than Price. Porcello's making $20 million a year. So look, the bottom line is this. Those two guys are going to cost you $50 million. If you get a 16-game winner and a 17-game winner in your rotation, and the ERAs, in the case of Price, are 3.5, in the case of Porcello, it's almost 4.5. Those two guys are going to cost you, in this day and age, $30 million or $20 million a year. Now, the big game thing that you're talking about, fine. But again, Price also pitched well against Houston. So maybe there's more to look at there. Like, let's not put the Yankees solely on the list of big games that he pitched. There were other games, and he did beat the Yankees here in August. So there are some things to look at with Price that make you say, you know, as a regular season pitcher, he's not a bust, and he's not a gross overpayment. I mean, to me, he's worth the $31 million. I mean, is he as good as Chris Sale? No. But he's worth the $31 million. Now, again, what we, you know, it's a manipulated question because we all know that in October, when you're making $31 million, it's all about October. It is all about October. And David Price has been a gigantic, colossal failure in the month of October. If he had a bad regular season and a good October, you'd tell me that he was worth $31 million. And you know what? And I would agree. So if he has a bad October, is he worth it? My answer is no. But as of right now, David Price did for them this year what he's capable of doing. I mean, after the elbow injury and everything else, I wasn't sure Price was going to be able to stay healthy this year. Finally, for the first time, the Red Sox got Price and Sale, for the most part, healthy when it mattered. And they're going to win the division going away, and they've set a franchise record for wins in a season.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Chris is 6-100. He feels great. Even walking around the clubhouse, his body language says a lot, and it seems like he's in a good spot mentally, physically. So he'll go out there and compete. It'll be fun to watch him. I know there's a lot of people talking about velocity and all that. That's my least. I'm not worried about that. I do feel that when October comes, the 96 gets to 98, and not only for him, but for a lot of people.
So that's Alex Cora talking about Chris Sale, who will pitch the second game of the doubleheader tonight over at Fenway Park. And with all that happened over at Fenway today, Xander Bogaerts 100 RBI, Mookie Betts 30-30. Again, if you care, personally, I think it's stupid that the Red Sox are letting Mookie Betts run in the final week of the season to get to 30-30. I just can't tell you how stupid I think that is. Betts, or Bogaerts rather, getting to 100 RBI is a little different to me because he's not doing anything he wouldn't normally do. You want him to get his reps. You want him to get his at-bats. You want him to have good at-bats. And if he knocks in runs, great. Of course, by all means. I'm not worried if he doesn't get it. Bogaerts had a good year. But you get the idea. But with the stolen bases, you have to seek them out, is my point. You have to seek them out. It requires a little extra effort. I just think it was dumb. Really, really dumb. Like, that's a priority now? But despite that, with all that went on over there today, let's not lose sight of the fact that the most important element in this day were the two guys on the mound. Okay, and you heard Alex Cora there speaking about Chris Sale, who pitched the nightcap. He said 6 and 100. 6 innings, 100 or so pitches, and typically the guys come in under that number. So the Sox have said it's somewhere in that area. I hope Sale goes over 100 tonight. I want to see the Red Sox let him go a little bit. He's not going to pitch again for 8 days, 7 days, whatever it is. He's not going to go till October 5th. He might throw a simulated game in between, but the intensity won't be the same. And trust me on that one, they're going to cut him off at like 60 pitches. Maybe 65, 70, whatever it is. It's not going to be a heavy workload in the simulated game. So Sale tonight, let go. Let him go. We need to see how it builds up. And you know what? I'm dropped on our producer, Jimmy Stewart, here on the fly because it just occurred to me. I meant to bring this up. Cora was asked about the opening day starter or the game one starter for the playoffs. And this was in stark contrast to what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday. And I meant to bring this up last night, and I didn't, okay? The point being that Dombrowski went on MLB radio yesterday, satellite radio, and Dombrowski was asked about, Jimmy, which one are we going to play? Are we going to play the combo or are we going to play him separately? Okay, so you're going to hear two cuts here back to back. The first is Dombrowski yesterday on satellite radio, and in the middle of it decides to just blurt out that Chris Sale is the game one starter. Again, no earth-shattering development, but blurts it out. Then Cora was asked about it earlier today and gave a different answer. Again, here are the two comments back to back.
Well, he's going to pitch tomorrow against the Orioles. That'll be his last start for the season. He will pitch a stretch out again to 90-ish type pitches, mm-hmm. and be ready to go then to throw 100 pitches for the postseason. He'll be scheduled to start. I don't think it'll surprise anybody the first day of the postseason on the Friday.
Are you ready to announce game one start?
No, not yet. We still have to wait to see how people finish the season.
So, like, I found that interesting. And again, the question being asked here is by John Miller of WBZ Radio, who's covered the Red Sox forever. Johnny has cerebral palsy. So there's a speech impediment there. But he asks, are you ready to announce a game one starter? And Cora says, no, there's still some things we got to get through there. Mario, do you find that weird at all that Dombrowski would come out and say, well, Sale's going to pitch game one, and then Cora wouldn't commit to that today? Like, do you think that that's weird?
Yeah. I mean, it shows that there's some sort of lack of communication going on between the two parties, which there certainly shouldn't be. You'd think that they'd want to have that all figured out, at least on both sides.
So let me tell you who I blame for this. Dombrowski. Okay, it's the manager's job to announce a starting pitcher. It's the manager's job to announce that. And you don't need the president of baseball operations sitting there doing some sort of national interview, trying to stroke his buddies or give him a little nugget or whatever it is, and revealing that information. Again, and it's not about the information being secret or anything else. It's just that there's a protocol there. You let the manager announce a starting pitcher. I wanted to say this last night, like, what the hell's Dombrowski doing on a national radio show telling everybody that Chris Sale's going to pitch game one? And you know why Cora hasn't announced it yet? Because he wants to see Sale get through this game without any issues. Because he's not all the way there yet.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely rightfully so. So I give Cora all the credit in the world on this one. I think Cora's right. No, we're not there yet. We still got some hurdles to clear. This is the big test. This is the 100-pitch game. So let's see him go out there and throw 100 pitches. And then we'll make a determination then. Once he shows he can throw 100 pitches, then we're fine. We're going to name him for game one. That part's obvious. Price will go game two. I want to get to more on Price here in just a minute as well. But in the interim, Charlie's in Arlington. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Tony. Hey, so I was interested in getting your perspective in with regards to David Price in this offseason, because, you know, if you're the Red Sox, are you going to go to him, you know, from a management perspective, whether it's, you know, Cora or Dombrowski or both, and try to influence him to not opt out? Because, you know, that's a real key decision in terms of their, you know, their team next year, because, you know, in terms of what you were saying earlier, is it almost easier just to go with him because you know what you have? You know, he had a pretty good season, all things considered. And my opinion is they're going to try to keep him. That's my thought, and I just wanted to get yours.
Okay, so Charlie, don't hang up. Let me just ask you quickly again. Do you think he was worth the $31 million this year?
I would say, given the market and the way he pitched, yeah, he's not a perfect pitcher. He's not a true one anymore. But I would say he's close to 30, maybe 26. 27. But,
okay, fair enough. No. And I think that's a good answer. I think that overall, you're right. He's worth more than 20. He's probably not worth 30, yeah. But it's not a gross overpayment. So now let me ask you part two. Your opinion, not what they would do. Your opinion.
Yeah.
Do you want him to opt out?
I did 2 months ago. I don't anymore.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I let you go. I still do want him to opt out. I still do. So now look, if he has some great October, ask me again. Ask me again. If he's MVP of the World Series or something like that, ask me again. We'll make that decision when we get there. As of right now, Red Sox would be better off if he opts out. Because I don't know if he's going to be able to repeat this 4 years in a row. And frankly, I don't know if he can win in October. I still have doubts about his ability to do that. But again, the regular season performance this year from Price gave you what he was supposed to this year. He did. Again, 16-7, 3.58 ERA. And over the final, whatever it was, 24 starts, the team was 21-3 or something like that. They went 22-8 overall when he pitched. He made his 30 starts. They won 22 of them. That alone puts them 14 games over 500. Like, David Price did his job in the regular season. In the playoffs, I don't know. We'll have to see. Because ultimately with Price, let's face it, it is all about October. And the contract was about winning championships and winning in October. He was so bad the first year that they had to go out and get Chris Sale. Let's not forget that. As for Cora, or rather Price actually made a comment after the game, and this is something we should consider too. This is his last regular season start. He will pitch game two. Price hasn't exactly thrown the ball great of late. Here's what he said after the game.
I mean, yeah, we won. I didn't throw the baseball the way that I wanted to or expected to throw the baseball today, but that's baseball, and I feel good. You know, I feel like I'm ready to continue forward and continue to trend in the right direction, and that's up.
Okay, so again, at least Price acknowledges he's not totally sharp right now. So now, will that improve between now and next Saturday, and he would pitch game two? Who knows? I mean, you know, that's a huge question. But make no mistake, how Price and Sale fare will go a long way towards determining the Red Sox success in the playoffs. The last 2 years, their failures have come largely as a result of their starting pitching being completely inept. And I mean inept. Like, in many cases, they couldn't get through the lineup one or two times before giving up four or five runs. So if Sale and Price can perform at the 1-2 that was their height this season, in other words, if Sale pitches to his peak this year and Price pitches to his peak this year, the Red Sox will be a tough out in October. You might even go so far as to say they should win the whole thing. If those two guys are firing on all cylinders, they can probably win it. If not, with that bullpen and some of the uncertainty they have in the infield, again, first base, second base, third base, you tell me for sure who's going to play there. Who's going to play there next Friday? Big question. But if those two aces are rolling, they can make a legitimate run.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.